Goodbye, Melanie. We made uncommonly good progress through the northern plains, riding upon the high backs of migrating apatosauruses, affording us a fine view of the foothills of the Backbone Mountains.
Bix?
Ah, yes, Will.
What did he mean when he said, Sylvie and I are just cracking through the shell? Did he see us living inside an egg all the time?
Oh, you must understand that Broken Horn sees all human young as protected. That is, as eggs.
He does?
No. It was a great compliment. Cracking through the shell is no easy task, nor is living without a yolk sac.
I see now. Young humans and dinosaurs are similar in that sense.
Precisely.
A strong wind coming off a ridge announced our approach to Canyon City. We disembarked at the edge, seeing before us, yawning and beckoning, a dreamland of air and stone. I had hoped to find skybaxes lined up like gondolas in Venice, with dashing tour guides ready to take me aloft. But only one rider can fit on the special saddle, and that rider must know his mount better than a falconer knows his bird. I watched Ulu, the head instructor, prepare the batch of new pilots.
Please keep in mind, this is a pterosaur, not a dinosaur.
Ulu and the student flyers assembled on a ledge beneath the glowing canopy of the Skybax's great wings.
It does not understand human or saurian languages.
The creature preened and stretched, shuffled and ambled, folding and refolding its wings, and finally perched awkwardly.
In ancient days, the two large pterosaurs, Pteranodon and Quetzalcoatlus Skybax, parted ways. The Skybax took to the heights above the earth and chose the rainbow as its sign. The Pteranodon remained in the canyons as gatekeeper to the world beneath. Now, you will discover that your Skybax will not fly beyond the sentinels who guard the lower canyon. That boundary cannot be crossed while you are in flight.
In the coming days, as Will and his fellow flyers began short flights down the canyon, he discovered the truth of Ulu's words. At the huge carved stone sentinels, each Skybax would wheel around like a Baltimore Clipper coming about and return to its accustomed space. Ulu spoke of the world beneath as if it were an actual place. Could there be any substance to those old charts from Waterfall City? Will?
Yes?
You've undoubtedly noticed that during all our travels in Dinotopia, we found the people to be straightforward, genial, hiding no secrets, in fact, apparently fearing no taboos.
Yes, they are very open to us.
But I've noticed that my questions about the Sentinels are evaded. Even Bix doesn't want to talk about it.
I don't understand. What are you saying?
I think I'll have to go and find out for myself.
Ulu said we're not supposed to go beyond the Sentinels. It's a region that belongs to others.
Ulu warned against flying beyond the Sentinels, but has anyone ever explored it by foot?
I think so, but it was so long ago, no one remembers.
I wonder.
People do not like to violate the taboo. It's out of respect for the Saurians.
Well, the people I've spoken with have no objection to my taking a look.
I don't think you should be poking around there. I don't think it's right.
Will and I spoke long into the night about this exploration. Finally, he agreed to come partway, at least to the bottom of the canyon. We provisioned for the expedition, dry food, light blanket, oil-wrapped notepaper. I wore my old coat and reinforced my footwear, envisioning a fairly rough journey. We descended the cliffs by an old trail that was still in use. It stopped at the water's edge, and we were obliged to wade as we proceeded. We reached the confluence of the ancient gorge some 10 miles downriver and made camp. Here, tumbling green and white waters mingled with the brown of the Amu. By firelight, the rocky walls above the water showed a distinct sheen, not of natural erosion, but as if something had rubbed them to a polished surface. The next day, we followed the pathway beyond the point of the sentinels, where, rounding a turn of the river, we came upon an extraordinary sight.
Look at that. It's incredible.
Monuments. They appear to be Egyptian in character.
And up here are carvings in the rock.
Apparently historical reliefs, possibly depicting the first meetings between humans and dinosaurs.
Let's see what's further downstream.
Yes.
I'm coming.
Yeah. It smells like something dead.
Yeah, certainly does. Look, up ahead, bodies of dead dinosaurs.
With pteranodons perched on the bones.
They're scavengers.
Is it safe to go on?
Well, I don't think they'll attack.
Look out!
Shh, Will. It's all right. They're just startled. Shall we continue?
I guess so.
There was no horror for us in this landscape of decay. It was hushed and somber, a holy place.
Sounds like the water is rushing into an opening ahead.
The river's plunging down into an enormous hole.
There's a spiral pathway. Look, carved from the rock by ancient claws.
The path, it circles downward.
Wait here. I'm going down to have a look ahead.
Be careful.
I descended the sloping ledge some 100 feet. Find the river had created a deep channel into the earth, surmounted by vaulted rock and flanked by a safe walkway. A blast of fresh, scented air cooled my face. Now I could see a strange illumination, a phosphorescence that shone upon the various plants, mosses, ferns, and then shrubs growing in wild profusion. Among them was Taraxacum officinale, which I knew to be edible. I scrambled back to the surface to find Will looking heavenward.
Will, what is it? What do you see?
Up there.
Oh, your skybacks.
It's Cirrus. He's concerned.
Yes. Enough to fly past the sentinels and enter the territory of the Pteranodon.
Are you going on?
Will, it's the chance of a lifetime for me. It's the doorway to a whole new world.
Will you be all right by yourself?
I have enough provisions. I'll return in a few weeks.
If you want, I'll keep your journals up to date for you.
Yes. If you have the time. And good luck with your training.
Be careful.
I watched him swoop upward with a rush of wings. Then I turned to descend into the earth.